And if you take your Bibles and go to John chapter 11, John chapter 11, we rejoice in a risen Savior, we rejoice in a living God. All other religious founders are in their graves. Ours is the only one that conquered death. And therefore, isn't it wonderful? I'm not trying to give you a feeling of pride, but isn't it wonderful to know you're the only one that's right? You say, well, how do you know you're the only one that's right? We're the only one with a risen Savior. Somebody say, there's nothing to research. Amen. Everybody else is dead. So I know we've got the right one. Amen. So John chapter 11, we're going to start reading here in verse number 23. And we're going to read down to verse 26. I'll read verse 23. You read verse 24 with me. And we'll read responsively for the next four verses. Ready? John 11, 23. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you again for your precious word. Thank you for Sunday. Thank you for church. Thank you, Lord, for time together. Help me, please, this morning as I preach. Let this be a help, Lord, as we rejoice in what you've done for us so we can live more for you and love you more because of it. Help us, please, in this short time that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat here. John chapter 11, the Lazarus chapter. Mary and Martha's brother, and he has died, and Jesus waits 4 days. And so that there's no chance that he could have been living. No question that he raises the dead in this chapter. And the two sisters, Mary and Martha, heartbroken, if you read the whole chapter later, they say, Lord, if you'd have just been here, my brother hadn't have died. God says, but what if God wanted, could get more glory from your brother passing? Maybe God knows some things you don't know. Right? Maybe God sees it all and you only see a little. That's what Jesus was saying. And so then he says, your brother, in verse 23 we read, Jesus tells her, your brother's going to rise again from the dead. And she makes the statement, Lord, I know everybody's going to rise again in the resurrection. What she's talking about is a general resurrection. She's not talking about a specific one yet. I know he's going to live in heaven, and I know that. And he says, no, you don't understand. I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the power that will rise him from the dead. Then he makes a beautiful statement here. He says, if any man, okay, if he, verse 25, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. What's that mean? Though you're physically dead in trespasses and sins, if you would believe on Jesus Christ, he can spiritually make you alive. Okay, though you're dead and on your way to hell and don't have a relationship with God, if you'll believe or put your trust only or depend only on, solely on Jesus Christ and nothing else, at that moment, Jesus said, then you will live forever. Then he's going to follow it up with a wonderful, so he's talking about salvation while we're here on this earth, right? Look at verse 24, and he says, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. What's that in reference to? That would be in reference, whoever is alive and sees that they're dead and needs Jesus and trusts him as their Savior, he'll live forever. And the death he's talking about is the second death in the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20. If you're born, right? The old statement, it's good, a lot of Bible behind it. If you're born once, you'll die twice. You'll die physically, and you'll burn forever spiritually. But if you're born twice, born physically and born again by believing on Jesus, you only die once physically, but you'll never die and go to hell. That's what he's saying here. The gospel, think about it just for a second. We're going to think about the resurrection this morning. What is the gospel? The gospel is Jesus died for your sins. Death. Then Jesus was buried in a tomb for 3 days. Darkness covered earth. Then he rose again the third day. You have to believe all three of those things for Jesus to save you. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, is the power of God unto salvation. So when you believe Jesus died for your sins, that he was buried for you and rose again the third day, that is salvation. So think about the resurrection this morning. Jesus said, I am the only source of power that raises from the dead. I'm the only one that can save because I've overcome death. So Jesus Christ is, I think, the positive, if you want to say, right, sins, grave, resurrection, life. Jesus is the positive part of the gospel. Amen? And you have to believe that. You cannot just believe that Jesus died on a cross. He did. But you also have to believe who he was. He was your creator. He was your eternal almighty God who died for you in your place. If you believe your God died in your place and overcame death because he loved you and didn't want you to go to hell, that is salvation. Amen? So as we look at the resurrection this morning, the name of the sermon is, because Jesus Christ arose, how does that benefit me? Right? Because Jesus Christ arose, number one, here we go. Let's look at it. Because Jesus arose, go to John chapter 14. You're in John chapter 11. Go to chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse number 13. Now, I know there's a lot in this chapter, but let's just look at a couple of verses this morning. Watch this. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Watch this. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Here we go. Right here, look at verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. If you just took that one thought this morning, because Jesus overcame death and is alive and seated at the right hand of the Father, if you trust him as your Savior, you'll live forever also. Now, wait a second. I know all we know is this life on this earth, okay? All I know is, you know, I'm awake 16 hours, and I try to sleep 8 hours a day, all right? I've only got 24 hours in a day. I know this life, but Jesus said, because I've overcome death, if you trust me, you'll live forever. That tells me this, okay, Jesus Christ is alive. How does that affect me? That means I don't have to fear death. I'm not longing to die. I'm not suicidal. There's nothing suicidal about me, amen? But I am also, I don't fear death because I'm saved. Because you say, well, this could happen, and we're close to Washington, D.C., and nuke center, and you've heard me talk about all that, and there's a whole bunch of negatives. It's wonderful to know as you read your Bible, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become God's child. That means, do you know when I'm going to die now that I'm saved? When God's done with me. And if I'll keep living for the Lord, I'm immortal until God's done with me. Amen? Well, you could die tomorrow in a car wreck. I'll say it again. Do you know when I'm going to die? When God's done with me. And watch this. I'm going to follow that through. Jesus said, because I live, ye shall live also. That means I know one day, Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. Everybody has an appointment with death. Nobody escapes it. It's just wonderful to know as a child of God, you've heard me say this before, but death is not the worst thing that can happen to you. Dying without Christ is the worst thing that can happen to you. Right? So therefore, I can enjoy life. I'm alive. Now watch this. If you can't live for the devil and have assurance of your salvation, okay, that will mess you up. If you're listening to rock music and rap music and the filth and you're looking at stuff you shouldn't be seeing, pornography and all that other stuff, you cannot live in victory. But if you're trying to do what's right, none of us are perfect, right? If you're trying to do right and you're saved, you have a lively hope, the Bible says. I don't have to live in depression. Because Jesus arose from the dead, I'm going to live also. And when this life is done, it's wonderful to know. It's so sad to go to a funeral where the person was lost. I've done funerals for people that I knew were on their way to heaven. And I've done funerals for people that I knew were lost too. And it's so sad. Because when a lost person dies, their burning starts. And it never stops. But when somebody saved dies, Christians never see each other for the last time. Right? We'll see each other in heaven. Our hope is in heaven. When I went to my mom's memorial last week, it was on Saturday. I had pictures of her. Pictures I'd never seen. Pictures of her as a little girl all the way up. And they had a whole table full of pictures. And I just remember thinking, the comfort of being here. My mom said, when I remember asking her, I said, Mom, when did you trust Jesus as your Savior? She said, when I was an 11-year-old girl, we went to a tent revival. And she said, and I walked the aisle and I trusted Jesus as my Savior. So at the homegoing last week, that was a comfort to me. I know my mom was saved. She said she trusted Jesus and nothing else. So I'm looking at her life here on this earth, but I know I'm going to see her again someday. That's the comfort of Christianity. Amen. If someone doesn't have that, we'll look at this here in a little bit. How miserable is life? Now I understand why I'm on the trip. It was so goofy to me. I'm still watching people travel with masks on the highway, windows rolled up. One person in the car, and they're wearing a mask. When my wife drives with me, she goes, honey, don't get up next to them and stare. They don't know me. She's like, honey, and I'm like, hon, look at that. They're wearing a mask, and they're... Now, I don't do the... I don't do that, but I do kind of... Are you... Watch this. Are you that scared of death? That just seems like a hopelessness to me. What a horrible way to live. Amen? Jesus said, because I live, you will live forever also. And enjoy the comfort that's going to take you right there. You're in John 14. We saw verse 19. Look at verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He not only said he's the only way to get saved, he said, I am the life. I'm the only way you live forever. I'm the only one that has the power over death to help you live for eternity with me. Therefore, Jesus Christ is alive to me as a Christian. I just love the thought. Wow. I don't know what heaven's like. I've never been there. I don't know what death is like. That's probably the scariest part. If you're saved, that's the scariest part for us, is the unknown. But we're even given promises concerning death that we ought to be relying upon because Jesus rose from the dead. Let's look at a few more here. Watch this. Go to Romans 5:10. Romans, you're in John, Acts, Romans. Romans 5. Because Jesus Christ arose, I know I'll live forever. Romans chapter 5, verse 10, because Jesus Christ arose this morning as I enjoy my Savior. Look at verse 10. For if when we were enemies, We were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. So before you got saved, your sin made you God's enemy. You were at war with God. Enmity. So you were fighting with God before you got saved. Then you found out He died for you, and you placed your faith only in Him. By the death of His Son, that war stopped. What happened? God said, I'm at war with you because you haven't trusted in Jesus, who took your punishment for you. So when you took His grace and His payment for your sin, look at the rest of the verse. What I have two words underlined in my Bible. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Much more. If Jesus' death on the cross could take you as an enemy of God and make you His child, what does His resurrection do? Much more. Much more. That is a feat in itself. God raising you from the dead and making you His child. But much more does His rising from the dead do what? Keep me saved forever. That's how come I know you can't lose it. When you trust Jesus as your Savior, the Bible says the fact that Jesus overcame death, the only enemy no one had defeated until Calvary. When Jesus overcame death, He said, now when I save you, I can save you forever. Much more. That's how I know. I was talking to somebody, and I get in these talks, and I don't mind. I'll sit down with anybody. But, boy, should I say, some of my family's messed up, okay? And I mean, they're termites and yo-yos. I mean, okay. So one asked me a question about salvation. And they said, well, can a person who gets saved and lives to this point and then stops living for the Lord, can they still go to heaven? I said, if they trusted Jesus, yes. Are they going to enjoy heaven when they get there? No. But can they still get to... I said, bottom line question. And she's looking at me like, I won't tell you who it is, but if you pay me $20 afterwards, never mind. She's looking at me and I said, why is this so confusing to you? If you couldn't do anything to earn Jesus' salvation before you got saved, how can you do anything after you get saved to cost you your salvation? What scares me is if you believe you can lose it, what did you do to get it? That's what scares me. If you believe you can lose your salvation, I'm scared you're not saved. And I don't know if you're saved or not. Because the only one I know who's saved is me. Amen? I said, quit looking at other people and how they live the Christian life and trying to judge whether they're saved or not, and just be concerned with yourself. Amen? She had all type. Well, what if a person does this? Well, what if a person does this? I said, what about you? Amen? The verse says, much more. This morning, because Jesus lives, I know I'm going to live forever. And I can never lose my salvation. My salvation, praise God. When Jesus saved you, He didn't put you on probation. When He wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, He wrote it in His blood. He didn't write it in pencil so He could erase it when you mess up. Amen? My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven because June 7, 1986, I trusted Jesus as my Savior. Amen? Much more. What a verse. Here we go. Because Jesus Christ arose, go to Romans chapter 8. You're in Romans chapter 5. Go to Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 34. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. I'm going to draw two conclusions from this. Watch this. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, watch, who also maketh intercession for us. You know what intercession is? That's what a lawyer does, a defense lawyer does for the accused in court. He speaks for the accused. He speaks on behalf of. He intercedes. It's where we get the word from football, where it's an interception. It was intended for one team, but the other team caught it, right? Interception, interceding, going in between. Jesus said, when I rose again from the dead, I am now seated at the right hand of the Father. And you know what I'm doing for you? Isn't this wonderful to know? You may not have prayed and thanked God this morning that He saved a sinner like you, but did you know He prayed for you? Aren't you glad? Because Jesus rose again from the dead, Romans 8:34 says He ever intercedes for us. I'm so glad Jesus prays for me, because nobody knows me like He does. Nobody knows my weaknesses like He does. Amen? And yet, it's wonderful to have someone who knows all about you, knows your flaws, and lifts you up to the Father in prayer. Here, that's Romans 8:34. Go to Hebrews 7. Hebrews, just you're going to have to go over a couple of books to the right. Hebrews chapter 7, another beautiful verse. Hebrews chapter 7. It's so sad to me to learn the Bible and not rejoice in the Lord. People who study it as a textbook and they're looking at it at the history aspect, or they're looking at it in the archaeological aspect, but they never look at it in the spiritual aspect. It's so sad. So sad. They know about Moses. They know about the Old Testament, but they don't know enough to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. What a tragedy. What a horrible thing. Hebrews 7, verse 25. Watch this. Ready? It says, wherefore he... We are here. We'll look at verse 24. But this man, talking about Jesus, because he continueth ever, that means he's eternal, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, because of that, he is able also to save them to the uttermost. If you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, do you know how saved you are? To the uttermost. You can't get more saved. Amen? What a wonderful thought. Amen? From the guttermost to the uttermost. Amen? From no matter what depth of sin you come from, Jesus said, when I save you, I don't save you 3/4 of the way, 7/8, 15/16. I save you all the way. I get you as saved as you. You may not understand it. You may not enjoy it because you don't know what He did for you. But He said, when I saved you, anybody I save to the uttermost. Totally. That means I can't add anything to it. Then when you finish the verse, watch this. Wherefore, He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him. Watch. Seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. There it is again. What's intercession? Speaking for, praying for, speaking on the behalf of. Taking my faults, my shortcomings, my failures to God. And says, Father, help him. Lord, he needs help in this. And Lord, he's weak. The Bible says, you ever watch a farmer with a tree plant, prune it? And then it says, in the Bible word, is dung it. What's dung? Fertilizer, right? So they'll take and say, ooh, this tree's struggling. It needs some nearer, right? Right? You know, isn't that wonderful to know what Jesus does with me? Father, he's struggling. He just needs some nearer. Amen. Spiritual nearer, okay? But God's out to pray and help me and lift me up. And wait a minute. Isn't that wonderful to know the one that died for you and rose again from the dead, if you've trusted him as your Savior, is praying for you? I want all the prayer I can get. But the best person that can pray to me is the one who has total access to the Father. Right? That also leads me to, because Jesus rose from the dead this morning, that tells me this. If you're saved, he hears your prayer. Before, he couldn't listen to me. Before I got saved, I couldn't pray. The Bible says the prayer of the wicked is an abomination. How can somebody who's not trusted Jesus as their Savior pray, dear God, please help me today? You haven't even trusted my Son who died for you. I don't want to know you. But now that you're saved, if you're saved, now that you're saved, God says, when you talk, I hear you. That's a wonderful thought. When I hit my knees, when I'm talking to my... Because God lives inside of me, I have instant access to God all the time. I like to go in a room. Yesterday we had prayer meeting. I like to come in here and pray right here. Lights don't have to be out. They can be low. It doesn't matter. I like to go into my office. I like to pray in certain places where there's no people, but I can talk to God anytime. You can cry to the Lord anywhere you're at. I know what's the church called, a house of prayer, right? Jesus called the church the house of prayer three times. But do you have to come to church to pray? I hope not. I hope you pray at your house. Amen. You can talk to him anytime. Amen. So he's praying for you, and he hears you when you pray. Because Jesus rose from the dead, all of the benefits. Watch this. Go back to Romans 8, and I'll show you. Somebody says, when you get saved, you have bad habits to break. I learned some bad things before I got saved. I had bad habits in my life before I got saved. Some of them involved tobacco. Some of them involved alcohol. Some of them involved... But I'm just telling you, if you get the privilege of being raised in a Christian home, it's something to thank God for because of all He kept you from. Amen? But when I got saved, and I know as people that I deal with and try to help as a pastor, when they get saved, they've got bad habits. It's like just the habit of getting up and reading your Bible in the morning. If you weren't raised to do that, you've been living for 20, 25 years, you get up, stumble across the room, you get ready for work, and you're used to getting the covers rolled back just in time for you to get out the door and get to work on time. When you get saved, just learning the habit of I get up earlier so I can read my Bible and start my day with God, that takes work. That's a simple habit. Other habits include overcoming sin, helping, right? When I got saved, my tobacco had to stop. Took a while. I had to learn it. And then when somebody showed me these verses here, it helped me so much as a child of God. And I hope this blesses your heart. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. In other words, if you're saved, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken. What's the word quicken in your King James Bible mean? Brought to life, right? Him shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. That verse is talking about when God rose Jesus from the dead and His Holy Spirit comes inside you to live as a Christian. If you want victory in your body, in your flesh, I'm talking the way you talk. I'm talking what your members are used to doing. If you want victory over bad habits, God said the Holy Spirit can now work in your members, the members of your body, your flesh, because you're saved. Why? Because Jesus rose from the dead, He can do more than save you. Amen? He can give you victory in life now. If you struggle with cussing, it's something you ought to work at. Christians shouldn't cuss. Does that have to be said in church? Amen? If you have a filthy mouth, then let Jesus help you and change it. Then quit cussing. Amen? You say, well, I don't know how. I've been cussing since I was, I don't know, 3. Probably not, but that's a long time. But I think you follow me here. If you've been cussing for a long time, that verse 11 says, when Jesus saved you, He can quicken your body, your mouth, to do what He wants you to do instead of your flesh running the show. Can you get victory over cussing? Yes, you can, because Jesus rose from the dead. When my wife and I got married, she was raised with cussing in the house, and her dad found out when she was going to church, they preached against alcohol, and she said she has memories as a 12-year-old girl, her dad saying, go to the kitchen and get me a beer. You're supposed to obey your parents. He was a nasty individual. But she remembers going to the kitchen. Well, they said, obey my parents in church. She'd get that beer out of the refrigerator. She'd bring it to her stepdad. I mean, you can ask her. She says, and I remember thinking, one day, I'm going to have a home where there's no beer. My home's going to honor God. And I'll never ask my children to go get alcohol. Amen? I'm just saying, whatever you need victory in, wherever you struggle, isn't that wonderful to know? How about, let's take this. Can you consistently get up on time? Some can. We're learning, some can't. If you would like, they're saying, I learned something when we were in West Virginia, a couple of the contractors there, I've not heard some talk about it here, but they said the hardest thing to do is get people to show up to work on Monday because the weekend is party time. And they said the easiest way to keep a job is just show up on Monday morning. because a lot don't. The only reason they get to keep their job is because that's all they have to work with, right? I said that to say, can you get up consistently on time? Can you make your body get up when you're tired? If you struggle with that, in verse 11, Romans 8, 11, God can quicken your body so you can do what you're supposed to do. Here, you want a good hint? Here, you'll only hear this in church. You want to know how to get up in the morning? Go to bed on time. Yeah, man. Look, I got up at 6 this morning. If I stayed up till 2 last night, I wouldn't want to come to church either. Yeah, man. You say, you're the pastor. You can't stay up till 3 in the morning. Shut the stinking TV off. Amen. Flush the phone down. Okay. Jesus arose today. Let's look at what we have there. Ready? Here we go. Look there. Keep on reading this. Ready? That quicken or brought to life your mortal body is so important in verse 11. Watch this. Let's read this some more. Therefore, because of that, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, what you want to do, ye shall die. Your life becomes a waste. But if you, watch, through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, do mortify. That's the same word where we get the word mortician, mortify, kill, execute. If you'll, through the Holy Spirit, kill your flesh, die to it. The power that rose Jesus from the dead gives you the power to execute the part of your life you know is wrong. Amen. Mortify, kill your members. Then, keep on reading. It says here, the deeds of the body ye shall live. That's talking about your habits. That's talking about things you know you shouldn't be doing. Bad habits. Because Jesus rose from the dead this morning, I can have victory over any sin I want. I didn't say I could live sinless. Nobody can live sinless. But I can have victory over sin. And because I'm saved, the only sins that I have to do now are the ones I want. That's convicting. Because God says anything in your life that you want to change for the Lord, He'll help you with. If the only reason you're still struggling is because you don't want God's help. That's good. Amen. I can take my failures to the Lord and He helps me because He's risen from the dead. Watch this. A few more verses here. Watch this. Ye shall live. Verse 14. For as are many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So this morning, because Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible teaches you can have victory over sin. Let's keep on looking here. A few more, and we're almost done. Watch this. Look at, here, 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Romans, 1 Corinthians. Now, 1 Corinthians 15 is the resurrection chapter. It's the chapter that talks about death after life after death, and it uses Jesus as the premise. It's called the resurrection chapter in the Bible. I know it's a big one, 58 verses, but watch this. Here we go. Look at verse 12. Ready? I'm going to read this quickly because Jesus rose from the dead. Watch this. Verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? So there were people in this church that said, resurrection from the dead. Jesus didn't rise. So He's going to answer that. And He's going to say, oh, Jesus didn't rise from the dead, huh? He just passed out on the cross. And then after they put a little water on His face when they brought Him down, He revived. And He never really died, so therefore He never really rose. All the stupid Jewish stuff to disclaim Jesus. So Jesus didn't rise from the dead, huh? That's how this chapter, God's going to teach you. Look at verse 13. If there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Watch. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Your faith, what you say you believe about the Bible, means nothing if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. Do you know why they call the resurrection of Jesus Christ the keystone of Christianity? When you're building an ark, the top stone has to be slanted like this, you know, and it's all coming this way. That's called the keystone. If you remove the keystone, everything collapses. That's what the resurrection of Jesus Christ is. It holds every... Nothing makes sense without Jesus rising from the dead. Your faith is vain. That means, watch this, your Christianity is worthless without Jesus rising from the dead. Your faith is vain. Keep on reading. Watch. It says here, and if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain. Your faith also is vain. Verse 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Watch. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. Watch verse 17 carefully. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. If Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead, then you're going to die and go to hell. He did rise. Wait a second. It's the most witnessed event in human history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You say, are you sure? Most people pick the biggest wars. There were only about two or three witnesses to each big war. There's 513 witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Infallible, unquestionable proofs that God is real. Amen? He said, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, you're still in your sins and you're going to hell. Amen? I'm so glad I'm saved this morning. Watch this. Watch this. It keeps on going. It says here, verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. I was just talking about one day I'll get to see my mom again. Those that have passed before us, we'll get to be with. We'll get to see a Brother Dorsey again. We'll get to see a Brother Tom again. Amen? Someday. But if Christ be not risen, we'll never see anybody again. Isn't Christianity wonderful? The truths of the Bible. Jesus Christ, this morning we celebrate. What do I have? Because Jesus rose from the dead. Finally, ready? Verse 19 ought to be marked in your Bible. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. So, you remove the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then all you have is this life to live for. What a horrible way to live. All I have is my house and my car and my clothes and my money, and all I have is what I have in this life. He said, then truly you are the most miserable person on the earth. No hope of eternal life. No wonder death scares you so bad. No wonder you wear a mask when you're by yourself in the car. No wonder, what's going to... No wonder you live in fear. If in this life only you have hope. How sad. What a horrible way to live. I love this thought as a Christian. Right now, listen closely. Right now, this is as bad as it gets if you're saved. Let me say it again. This is as bad as it gets if you're saved. Because when the heart to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, right? After this, I like saying it's gravy. Amen. It's beyond perception after this. But if you're lost, listen, if you're lost, this is as good as it gets. The suffering and the cancer and the death and the pain. This is as good as it gets if you're lost. If Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead and all you have is this life, I guess I see why they live like animals. Yeah, have your sex outside of marriage. Drink it up. Booze it up. Drug it up. Because when your heart stops beating for the last time, the burning begins. Yeah, this is as good as it gets if you're lost. After this, it's eternity in hell. Amen? What a verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are... Excuse me. Let me just read it. Not misquote. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Then Christianity is a horrible joke. They go to church. They preach against everything. Just a bunch of restrictions to keep you from living life happy. And then they die. Most miserable people. Church is not miserable. Amen? I'd rather be with God's people than anywhere on the face of the earth. I'd rather be with saved Christians than in a nightclub with lost people. Amen? They have no hope. That's why they're getting drunk. That's why they're living the way they're living. That's why they're listening to the rock music, drug me, whatever. Well, somebody, it's a stupid song. I know the song, Give Me the Beat Boys, that frees my soul. I want to get lost in your rock and roll. And I heard it in a stupid truck stop. But the words scare me. Wait a second, the words scare me. And drift away. The purpose of the rock music is to drug the mind to help me deal with the disappointments now instead of turning to God. I know where the song came from. Okay. I'm saying that's the way the world lives. The way we live, we'll close today the service with Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. Because He lives, I have hope. I serve a risen Savior. And this morning, I look at the world, I feel so sorry for them. I'm so glad I'm saved. Amen. Can we look at one more verse? Here we go. Go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 5. Last book of your Bible. I could take you to Hebrews 6. We could go to Job 14, 10 through 12, and then 19, 25 to 27. The oldest book in the Bible and the last book in the Bible talk about rising from the dead and standing before God in a physical body, which tells me everybody, this is interesting, everybody's going to rise again from the dead. Jesus rose, and He's going to rise people that trust in Him. But even lost people that don't know Christ are going to one day rise and get a body that can't die. You say, where is that? Look at Revelation chapter 20. Look at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead. That's every person that's ever died. Small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead, everybody that has died, were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let's close this morning lesson. I'm rejoicing because my Savior overcame death. But it is amazing to me, as I traveled, you know, and I filled up my vehicle, and I'm looking around at all the people thinking, every person I can see is going to live again. Everybody lives eternally, right? What a thought. Everybody is going to have a resurrected body that cannot die. If you're saved, you get a resurrected body that will live forever with the Lord in heaven. If you're lost, you get a resurrected body that cannot die, thrown into hell. And that's why as they burn forever and ever, they can't die. They just suffer and scream because they're in a supernatural body. What an amazing thought. Everybody is going to rise again. Everybody is going to live forever in heaven or in hell. this morning, because Jesus is alive, because he's risen, I'm saved forever, I'm prayed for, I can have victory over any part that I want to live for the Lord, amen, I can rejoice, and it helps me keep my focus, amen, on what I'm supposed to be doing as a child of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your precious word. Please help us this morning. Lord, I know there's more. I know there's more that we could study. But Lord, thank you. When we leave church today, we can talk to you. When we're at our houses, we can talk to you. You're a personal God. You're a living God. What a wonderful, wonderful salvation you've made available. Please bless these people. Help us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. The piano's going to play. We'll have a short altar call.